America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of education, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online bachelor's, master's, and doctoral education degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with observational and hands-on experience in the field. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey fam, Newman here from Movies for Days, your non-pretentious easy access movie chat podcast and weekly deep dive into any film from any genre, from any decade with anybody's guess as to how we chose that movie that week. Proud member of the You Run Podcast Network. Check us out where all great podcasts can be heard. And on Twitter, at Movies Days. Movies is spelled regular. Days is spelled with a Z.
What do we do with him?
Let's feed him through the pneumatic press that stamps the skee-ball tickets.
That sounds horrible.
That's the idea.
It sounds like some Nazi crap. You won't be feeding me into anything.
Yeah, what makes you so sure?
This gun in my hand.
Where the hell did that come from? Weren't you holding him?
I'm holding him. We're both holding him.
We are?
If you don't want to hold some lead, you can let go.
How did you do that?
I'm asking the questions now. Who put you up to this? Who got you access to the printing press? Why counterfeit skee-ball tickets? Why not print fake money?
Every time I gotta explain it. You people just don't have vision.
This Gun in My Hand. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in.
Today's episode, we have Volume 2 of the sci-fi classic, Space Patrol, a series that had both a TV version and the radio version. The radio version ran from 1952 to 1955, with over 129 episodes. Interesting enough, the cast of the radio show was also the cast of the TV show. If you're a fan of sci-fi, please check out the archives, where I have many science fiction shows, including Volume 1 of Space Patrol. And lastly, if you would be so kind, follow, rate, and review the podcast. And also, check out the descriptions for links to everything associated with the podcast. And with all that,
please enjoy the show.
Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hut Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol. In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy are in their spacesuits, investigating a gigantic six-wheeled atomic digging machine on the planet Mercury. As they walk across the deeply cracked ground in 300-degree heat, the huge machine starts moving toward them with increasing speed.
They're trying to run us down with the machine, Commander.
Get to the ship, Happy.
It's hard to run in these bulky suits. Maybe we can dodge the driller.
Don't try it. The driller's big, but it can turn like a cat.
It's gaining on us.
Don't look back. Run.
Hey!
Quick, Hap, on your feet.
My foot caught the crevice.
Give me your hand.
No, you sir. I can't get loose. I'm caught. Commander, get away, please, while you can. The driller's almost on top of us.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The City of the Sun. Hey, gang, listen to this poor old rocket ship here at the Lunar Fleet Base. You know what the trouble is? That rocket's trying to run on ordinary fuel. Now, here's that same rocket ship loaded with super fuel. Now, that's what I call a real blast-off. And boys and girls, to get a bright and snappy start, you need super fuel, too, especially in the morning. So start your day with a breakfast that supercharges you. A nourishing breakfast with a Checkerboard Super Cereal, like Rice Chex. Triple crisp Rice Chex. Triple crisp because it's toasted three times. And oh boy, is Rice Chex delicious. Makes breakfast sparkle, that's how good it is. Rice Chex. Golden shredded rice biscuits in that modern bite-sized design for easy eating. So remember, gang, to start off bright and snappy in the morning, eat a nourishing breakfast with a Checkerboard Super Cereal and get supercharged. Today, try your spoon out on Rice Chex. Commander Corey and Cadet Happy are on the planet Mercury, organizing space patrol units into a search for Professor Mallison, whose spaceship vanished on the dark side of the planet. But now, a second emergency on another part of Mercury sends Buzz and Happy racing to the hot side of the tiny planet, to Solaria, the city of the sun.
Who's behind the sabotage, sir?
I don't know, Happy. That's what we've got to find out. But I've got a pretty good idea what the motive is.
What's that, sir?
Solaria has suddenly become very important because of the mineral deposits that have been found about 60 miles south of the city.
South? That means it's hotter than the Solaria area. Well, how do they work it?
With robot-controlled mining equipment operated from Solaria. And with spacesuits, a few technicians can work in two-hour shifts on the mining site itself.
Oh, and whoever sabotaged the power plant doesn't want those mining operations to continue.
Yeah, and probably cuts into their own source of revenue.
I suppose this is more important, but I sure would have liked to locate Professor Mallison first.
We've got the search units well organized, Happy. They'll comb the entire dark side of Mercury with infrared viewscope scanners.
Well, do you think the professor could still be alive, sir?
He's been missing over 4 days. That would be a long time to hold out in sub-zero temperature on the dark side of the planet.
Well, how about the spacophone signal picked up yesterday, though? That was from Mallison, wasn't it?
It was his code, all right. But it was an automatic signal. It could have been sent from one of the small rockets Mallison had aboard his ship. When released, it automatically sends back information on cosmic radiation, temperature, and Mercury's own magnetic field.
Oh, that's what Mallison was studying?
Yes. Even if he locate the rocket, it wouldn't mean it's anywhere near Mallison's ship. A commercial spaceship picked the signal up briefly, just for a few seconds. All they got was Mallison's identification code and the temperature. 122 degrees below zero.
Yeah, which could mean that Mallison released the rocket several days ago and it landed on the dark side of the planet.
Right.
Commander, what's that? It looks like steam shooting out of the ground down there. It's like a geyser.
Geyser on the hot side of Mercury? Happy, check our exact position. I don't like the looks of this.
Yes, sir.
I'll call Solaria Space Control. Corey and Terra 5 to Space Control Solaria. Corey and Terra 5 to Space Control Solaria.
Space Control Solaria to Commander Corey. Lieutenant Orris here.
Lieutenant, I'm flying low northeast of Solaria. My cadet and I have sighted something that looks like steam shooting out of the ground.
Steam, Commander?
Yes, I'll give you our position. Check it against the location of water conduits leading to the city.
Yes, sir.
Happy, got the data?
Yes, sir. We're 10 degrees, 27 minutes, 48 seconds south by 112 degrees, 51 minutes, 08 seconds east.
Got that, Lieutenant?
Yes, sir. I'll check it against the chart.
Commander, do you suppose it is a broken conduit?
I don't know what else it could be, Happy. Possibly a quake broke the pipe.
Commander, it looks like a broken conduit, all right. Solaria's main water supply line runs right through that point from melting and pumping station number 3 on the cold side of Mercury.
Better check with Solaria Water Control. See if they've noticed a drop in pressure.
Yes, sir. Thanks for telling us. If that's a bad break, we'll be in a tough spot here.
Is there a seismograph in Solaria?
I believe there is, sir.
I suggest you check the city engineering office. Have them contact other cities on the planet and see if there's been a quake in this area.
Yes, Commander.
We'll circle this vicinity to see if any further trouble develops. Report back when you get the information. Corey out.
From the looks of that ground down there, sir, they must have a lot of quakes in this region.
You mean those deep cracks? Well, those were formed millions of years ago, Happy, when Mercury first began to dry out under the terrific heat.
Yeah, but with one side of the planet covered with ice and the other side with blistering heat, well, wouldn't there be a lot of quakes?
Well, as far as I know, there hasn't been a serious one reported in recent years. We'll keep circling till we hear from Solaria.
Can't we take it easy, Burdock? This is pretty rough ground.
Well, these atomic drillers weren't made for comfort, Grove. And I want to get plenty of distance between us and that broken water conduit.
We're going 70 with this thing. If we hit one of those cracks at the speed, we'll tip over.
Just quit worrying. We're riding on 6 wheels. And each of them are 20 feet in diameter. And every wheel has its own power drive. I think we're in more danger of being spotted by a space patrol ship than we are of upsetting this monster.
What do we do with the driller when we get to our spaceship?
We just leave it. It's pretty well camouflaged to blend in with this cracked yellow ground here. We can find it again if we need it.
You aren't planning to drill any more holes in the Solaria water supply, are you?
Not right away. But this job will cause plenty of trouble.
You think they'll be able to repair it?
Probably. But with things like this happening, trouble with power and water, the rival companies are going to think twice about using Solaria as a base of operations.
Hey, Burdock, watch it! Nearly tipped us over.
Oh, just relax, Joe. We're almost to the ship.
Well, sir, it looks like the conduit broke in just that one place.
That's lucky, but even at that, it'll take several hours to get many equipment out here to repair it.
Space Control Solaria calling Commander Corey aboard Terra 5.
Corey here. Go ahead, Lieutenant.
A maintenance girl is getting ready to leave Solaria now, Commander. They know the location.
Oh, good. We'll head for Solaria. What about the seismograph reports?
No quakes have been detected anywhere on Mercury, sir. The chief engineer doesn't understand how that conduit could have broken.
How's your water supply?
Pressure has dropped to less than a quarter of normal, sir. We're already on a strict water rationing. Nearly all industries have been ordered to shut down for 24 hours.
Will it take that long to repair the damage?
At least. Commander, Colonel Henderson thought you might be interested in a report on Professor Mallison.
Well, yes, I am. Have they found him?
No, sir. But another automatic signal was picked up by a cargo ship, apparently from a grounded instrument rocket. It isn't much help.
What do you mean?
It's sending inaccurate information. The cargo ship pilot got a rough fix before the signal stopped. It's on the hot side of Mercury. But the temperature data was 122 degrees below zero.
Same as the other report. The sending mechanism must have been damaged when the rocket landed.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Lieutenant. I'll contact you when we reach Solaria. Corey out. All right, Happy. Get on Vector for Solaria.
Yes, sir.
Hey, wait a minute. Look down there on the ground.
What is it, Commander?
See those gouges? A sort of crisscross pattern.
Yeah, two rows of them.
They're tracks.
What would make tracks that far apart?
Some heavy earth-moving machinery, probably.
Oh, from when the conduit was laid.
I don't think so. Focus the viewscope toward the steam spout. Yeah, see? The tracks end right near the place where the break is.
Say, that's right.
Follow those tracks in the other direction, Happy.
Hey, they lead away from Solaria.
That makes them interesting. Any surface equipment out here would be more likely to come from Solaria than anywhere else. We're going to find out where those tracks lead.
Just a few minutes more, Grove. Our ship's on the other side of the jagged butte.
Oh, she'll be glad to get out of this villa.
You're mighty peculiar, aren't you? You don't like spaceships either.
Who says I don't?
Well, didn't you get spacesick the other day?
Well...
Or was it because I shut down the lab ship?
You shouldn't have done that, Burdock. He wasn't bothering us. He was on some scientific mission.
Well, it's just too bad. He came snooping around just as we blasted off from our hideout.
He didn't have a chance.
Don't be so screaming. By acting quickly, we probably kept the space patrol from spotting us near the power relay station. And what's the matter?
The reduced. It's a ship.
Yeah. It's flying low, right toward us.
Think they see us?
I don't know.
Hey, why'd you stop the driller?
Because if we're moving, they might spot us. But with the sides and top of the driller camouflage, they might not notice.
Right over.
It's a space patrol ship. They must have spotted the break in the water line.
Yeah, but why were they going so slow?
How do I know? We'll just sit tight and see what they're up to.
Happy, look down there. The tracks stop.
That's hard to tell. The ground must be packed almost as hard as concrete in some places.
I'll circle back. Use the viewscope scanner.
Yes, sir. Uh-oh. Hey, there is something down there. A hump of something. A small hill, maybe.
Now, look closer. Did you ever see a hill on wheels?
Yeah, I can see it now. It's a big piece of machinery, and it's camouflaged.
Happy, get our spacesuits out of the locker. I'm setting the ship down.
Yes, sir.
Check the refrigeration units in the suits carefully. We're going to be walking around in oven temperature down there.
They must have seen us. Why would they land their ship clear out here?
Just take it easy, Rolf. We're safe in the driller. Nobody could get in unless we opened the door.
Somebody's getting out of the ship. Two men.
Yeah. Hey, that's Terra 5. Come into Corey's ship.
If we don't open up, Corey will go back to his ship and report us. They'll send a crew out here with cutting torches.
If Corey gets back to the ship.
How can we stop him?
We'll stop him all right. You just wait and see.
Wow, now that we're on the ground, that machine looks enormous.
It's an atomic driller, Happy. The camouflage covers the drill part, but it's built to cover the toughest kind of terrain and drill through solid rock.
Yeah, then that's what happened to the water conduit. Drilling into the main would be simple for that machine.
It looks that way. Have your gun ready, Happy. Whoever's in there probably won't be too eager to answer questions.
Hey, Commander, it's moving.
They're making a getaway. Get back to the ship, Happy.
Yes, sir. Commander, it's coming toward
us. Run, Happy. They're trying to run us down.
It's
try to run in these bulky spacesuits. Maybe we can dodge the driller.
Don't try it unless you have to. That driller's big, but it can turn like a cat.
The ground's so full of cracks and ditches. Commander, it's gaining on us.
Don't look back. Run.
Hey!
Snap on your feet, quick.
My foot's caught in the crevice.
Give me your hand.
Run for it, Commander. They can't get both of us. You've got to get away.
No, give me your hand, Hap.
No, you, sir. I'm caught. Commander, look out. The driller's right on top of us. You've got to leave me.
We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment.
Shh. Space Patroller Dick Tufeld, gang. I've got a secret for you. Wait till I close the door. Okay. Now, here's a secret Buzz Corey wants you to know about. The secret of how space patrollers get a rip-roaring start in the morning. Now, here's what they do. They eat a breakfast that supercharges them. A good breakfast with one of the three checkerboard super cereals. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex, and Instant Ralston. Chex, they're the super cereals with that modern bite-sized design. The cereals with a swell new taste you'll like right off the reel. And to warm up your motor, there's Instant Ralston, the hot super cereal. Has a heart-of-the-wheat flavor that you'll really warm up to. So now you know how space patrollers get that rip-roaring morning start. Get a flying start yourself every morning, gang. Sit down to a nourishing breakfast with a checkerboard super cereal and get supercharged. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex, good hot Ralston, the super cereals. Flying low above the hot side of the planet Mercury, Buzz and Happy have sighted a gigantic atomic drilling machine. The driller is driven by Burdick and Grulf, who have bored a hole in the water conduit leading to Solaria, a city in the sun-baked Mercury desert. Buzz and Happy don spacesuits to investigate a cleverly camouflaged drilling machine. Suddenly, the driller started up, rolling across the cracked and fissured earth on its six giant wheels. Happy caught his foot in a large crack in the ground. And now, as Buzz tries to pull Happy free, the enormous driller roars down upon them.
It's no use, sir. It's still right after us. It's going to crush us.
Fall flat. Dive into that crevice quickly.
Yes, sir.
Happy, are you all right?
I guess so, sir. Half buried in the dirt.
Don't move yet. Stay down in the crevice until the driller's out of sight. We don't want them coming back to finish the job.
I sure thought we were goners when that big thing thundered over us.
We're lucky to find a crevice deep enough.
They're still going, I guess.
Yeah. Fortunately, they didn't stop to wreck our ship. That means they're sure they crushed us under the wheels.
The driller's completely out of sight now, sir.
All right, into the ship, Happy. We won't take time to get out of these suits till after we blast off and start our search for that drilling machine.
Well, here we are.
Here's your spacesuit, Burdock. Get into it. Let's get to the ship.
I see you were all ready.
Yeah, all but the face piece.
You know, sometimes I get the impression you don't enjoy riding in a driller.
Let the funny stuff. Let's get out of here. How do we know Corey didn't send a space phone message before he got out of his ship?
You're right, Grove. But before we leave, I'm going to set a magnesium bomb and leave it in here.
What for?
I'll make sure that this drill is useless to anybody else. And it'll leave this cabin such a mess that the space patrol can't find any fingerprints.
All right. All right, but let's get at it.
There's something up ahead, sir. Looks like smoke.
You're right, Happy. It's the drilling machine that's on fire.
It's not moving. Hey, do you suppose whoever was in it got out?
Well, let's hope so. Wait a minute. By the color of the smoke, that must be magnesium. It must have been deliberately started to wreck the control mechanism.
But where's the driver?
Take a look at that scorched area on the ground a few yards from the driller.
A blast-off scar.
Uh-huh. Our driller operator had a spaceship hidden here. Turn on the viewscope, Happy. Maybe you can pick up a trace of him. Now contact Space Control Solaria. Commander Corey aboard Terra 5 calling Space Control Solaria. Commander Corey calling Space Control Solaria.
This is Space Control Solaria, Commander. Lieutenant Aura speaking.
Lieutenant, relay this bulletin to all Mercury Space Patrol units.
Yes, sir.
A spaceship of unknown type just blasted off from the vicinity of the broken water conduit. Interrogate all spaceborne private craft. Ground all suspicious ships and hold the occupants.
I'll relay that message, Commander. Can you give any sort of description of the ship?
No, we merely saw the blast-off scar. Looked like it was from a small space cruiser. That water main break was deliberately sabotaged. An atomic driller did the job.
Atomic driller?
Yes. We found it abandoned near the break. Tell Colonel Henderson I want investigators sent out to examine it. They'll need firefighting equipment.
Yes, sir.
Make an immediate check of all known atomic drilling machines on Mercury. Where they are and who has them.
Yes, Commander.
How's the water situation in Solaria?
It's even more serious than we thought, sir. We're setting up cargo ships to bring some in from other cities. Commander, a Venus-bound passenger ship reported seeing a wrecked lamp ship south of Solaria. The pilot thought it might be Professor Mallison's ship.
South of Solaria? How far south?
15 D.O., sir.
That's the hottest part of the planet. Even if the ship wasn't badly damaged by the crash, it looks bad for Mallison.
The same passenger ship also picked up Mallison's automatic coat, sir. And another temperature report. 122 degrees below zero.
Below zero? That seems impossible. Have you sent any units to investigate?
Not yet, sir. Colonel Henderson...
Yes, I know. You've got problems of your own, Lieutenant. Give me the location of that crashed ship. I'll investigate it myself.
And 87 degrees, 16 minutes, 43 seconds west.
Good, I suppose that's the ship you shot down?
Shut up, Ilvis. I got their frequencies, both of them.
Got it, Lieutenant. One more thing, Commander. The passenger ship pilot isn't sure, but he thought he saw something moving near the crashed ship. It doesn't seem likely.
No, it doesn't. But I'll get there as quickly as I can. Corey out.
Corey alive?
Yeah, it was somebody else we ran over with the driller. Cut it off.
That is the first ship you shot down, and there's someone still alive.
There couldn't be. That was 4 days ago. And even in the best space suit made, nobody could live 4 days in that heat.
What are we going to do?
We're going to make sure. Maybe we can get there before Corey does. And if not, we'll cut Corey's investigation short.
Murdoch, maybe we didn't kill those men with the driller. Maybe it was Corey and somebody else, and they escaped somehow.
Well, if he did, he wouldn't escape this time. You marked down those coordinates, didn't you?
Yeah, they're right here.
All right. I'll take the controls. You get on the view scope. We don't want to get close to another ship. Especially Corey's.
We're nearly to the location, sir. Drop her down a few thousand feet, Hap.
Yes, sir. Hey, this part of Mercury looks even worse than where we were before. Rougher terrain.
Yes, and it's even hotter. Close to 500 degrees. Now, listen. Get that down, Hap.
Yes, sir. MLS 28.
Mercury Lab Ship 28. That's Mallison's identification code.
Temperature minus 122 degrees. Hey, it cut out.
Minus 122 degrees. I got a fix in that signal, Happy. It's almost directly below us.
Look. It's a cracked up ship, all right. A lab job, too.
Get your spacesuit on, Happy.
Yes, sir.
Whatever we do, we've got to do it fast.
Hey, Commander, down there by that cliff. It's a man in a spacesuit.
That's incredible. He's waving to us. Stand by for repeller ray.
That's a lab ship, all right. Even in the view scope, you can see it's pretty badly smashed up.
Yeah, but we're too late. Corey's ship is landing right near it.
What do we do?
He'll probably go in to find what's left of Millicent. When he does, we'll swoop down and bless the wreckage, and then shoot up terrified.
Better not get so low, Burdock. They may see us.
There's not much they can do about it. Anyway, I'm keeping between them and the sun. Nobody's going to look up at the sun, especially here on Mercury.
Wait a minute. They're running right past the ship. Where are they going?
Oh, maybe. Seeing something close to the cliff.
Murdoch. It's a man. And he's alive.
After 4 days in the blast furnace down there, it's impossible.
See for yourself.
Must be Millicent. We've got to make sure that none of them get out of here. Get your spacesuits on, Grove.
We aren't going to land.
Not unless we have to. But I'm going to make sure that all three of them are finished before we leave here.
Check your suit spacerphone, Happy.
It's working okay, sir. And so's the temperature control.
And we'll need it. All right, open the outer hatch.
Mallison's acting pretty strange, sir. He just stands over there and motions to us instead of coming toward us.
It's hardly a normal way to greet rescuers. Let's see if his spacesuit transmitter's working. Professor Mallison, this is Commander Corey. Can you read me?
He's just waving more excited than ever.
Professor, if you hear me, hold both hands over your head.
He's doing it.
Apparently he can hear us, but his transmitter's out.
I thought I heard something in the earphones just for a second, and another voice.
Professor, is there some reason why you want us to come over there? If there is, hold your hands straight out at your sides.
Yeah, that's what he wants us to do.
We better do as he asks. How did he manage to survive in this...
Commander, it's a cave.
Yeah, I see. Commander, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, Professor.
My spacephone wasn't working, so I couldn't answer you. Commander, you've got to look at this. It's a happy surprise to find you alive, Professor. That spacesuit must be remarkably resistant to heat.
It isn't the suit that's responsible. Just look in here, where the beam from my atomolite is shining.
It just looks like an ordinary cave.
Further back, look at the walls.
You mean that shiny blue-black mineral?
Commander, that's ice.
Ice?
Ice. In this part of Mercury?
Right. Thousands of tons of it, perhaps millions.
That's how you manage to stay alive. It's cool in the cave.
Yes, with 570 degrees outside. Inside, it's a constant 122 below zero.
And your automatic rocket transmitter was right.
Commander, do you realize what this underground ice means to Mercury? To the people of Solaria in particular?
You mentioned millions of tons.
A conservative estimate. Think how easily it could be melted and piped to Solaria. Only a matter of a few miles in comparison with the present haul of more than 1,000.
It certainly is a timely discovery. Dozens of conduits can be built from here to Solaria at a fraction of the cost of the one line that was broken.
A spaceship? Yeah, it must be a space patrol craft.
Let's get to our ship, Professor. Believe me, this news will be welcome in Solaria.
Well, what I don't understand is how all this ice could be underground in the hot part of Mercury.
The rock above insulates it. This is not a new phenomenon by any means. Why, on the planet Earth, more than 1,000 years ago, Indians in the Arizona desert used to get ice from a natural cavern such as this.
Hey, wait a minute. It's not a space patrol ship. It's a private cruiser.
You're right, sir. It's taxiing around on repeller ray.
I've seen that ship before. Why, it's the one that shot my lab ship down.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Hey, what's a crazy fool doing? He's backing the ship right toward the cave.
He'd better get out of here or he'll run over us.
He's got something worse than that in mind. He's seen us and doesn't want us to get out.
Well, maybe he's just backing up to get room to blast off between here and the opposite wall of the canyon.
Not in your life. Quickly, get out of the cave. He's going to put his stern in here and turn on his rocket blast. Lucky we saw him in time to get out of the cave. Now get behind this rock. Maybe he won't see us from the ship.
Hey, you're right, Commander. He's pushing the tail of his ship back in the cave with blasts from his forward rocket.
He really intends to see that we don't get away from here. Now keep close to the rock. I think we'll be safe here.
Hey, he's keeping his forward rockets on to hold the ship in the cave.
Something tells me he's going to regret this.
The ship's wrecked.
He shot right across the canyon into the opposite wall.
His hand must have slipped off the controls.
No, Happy. The heat from his rocket exhaust turned the ice into steam, and it popped the ship out of the cave like a cork.
We'd better get over there, Commander. They may be badly hurt.
If they haven't got spacesuits on, they haven't a chance.
Commander, I see somebody getting out. Yeah, there are two of them.
And they do have spacesuits on.
Let's get them. By their attitude, I don't think we'll have any trouble.
No, sir. You know, during the last few minutes, sir, I've really realized what a wonderful thing water is.
That's so?
Yes, sir. In the form of ice, it saved Professor Mallison's life. And when those two fellows turned it into steam, it simply cooked their goose.
An exciting preview of next week's new Space Patrol adventure after this important question. Have you sent for your Space Patrol spaceophone yet? You better hurry! Yes, sir, this sensational offer is soon going to end. And you don't want to be left without one of these thrilling new spacophone sets, do you? No, siree. So, hurry! More fun. You can talk back and forth on the spacophone to someone a straight 50 feet away. Just like talking on the telephone. Complete with two spacophones, 50 feet of communication cord, and secret briefing sheet. Now remember, these are official spacophones, made especially for you on Earth. Real beauties, too. Gleaming blue and yellow plastic. Look exactly like the spacophones Buzz Corey and the gang use. So don't wait a single day. Hurry! Yes, sir, you have to hurry, because this offer soon comes to an end. To get the complete Space Patrol spacophone set, do this. Buy a box of Instant Ralston. Then, with your name and address, send 25 cents in coin and an Instant Ralston box top to Space Patrol, Box 686. St. Louis, Missouri. This offer good only in continental U.S. and may be withdrawn at any time. That's Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. And now for a preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story. Buzz and Happy have just entered a spaceship in Neptune City spaceport in search of a traitor against the United Planets. They pause in the open hatch a moment.
He may be up forward, tampering with the controls.
Wrong guess, gentlemen.
Commander, look out!
Here we are, Cadet.
I've got a ray gun.
Yeah, well, I've got a...
I warned you.
Carter, put down that gun.
Don't try to get to your feet, Commander.
What are you doing in this ship?
Preparing it for its last voyage. There's an explosive hidden aboard. Time to go off 2 hours after blastoff. And you, my friend, we'll be aboard.
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Queen of Space.
Boys and girls, this is your commander. Do you know how life-giving oxygen is carried to the cells of the body? By the bloodstream. So when a person loses a great deal of blood in an accident or in sickness, there's not enough blood left to do that job. Result? The person dies. So will you help me save lives by joining the Space Patrol Blood Boosters? It's fun, it's patriotic. So join the Space Patrol Blood Boosters today.
Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production starring Ed Kemmer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Ken Mayer and Norman Jolly. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol! And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol story on your local ABC television station. Consult your local paper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy have just entered a spaceship in Neptune City spaceport in search of a traitor against the United Planets. They pause in the open hatch a moment.
He may be up forward, tampering with the controls. Wrong guess, gentlemen.
Commander, look out!
Stay where you are, Cadet.
Oh, yeah?
Cardo, put down that gun. Don't try to get to your feet, Commander. You'll get what the Cadet got.
What are you doing in this ship?
Preparing it for its last voyage. There's an explosive hidden aboard, time to go off 2 hours after blastoff. And you, my friends, will be aboard.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Queen of Space. Gang, this is Space Patroller Dick Tufeld at an Aquajet boat race on Mars. Now, my favorite is the shooting star. But hey, it doesn't have a chance. That driver's filling up the tank with ordinary fuel. You see what I mean? No zip, no zoom. Hey, but wait. The driver's now putting in some super fuel. Wow, look at the shooting star go. Bound to be a winner now because she's supercharged. Supercharged with super fuel. Now, you want to be a winner too, don't you, gang? You bet. In sports, in school, in everything you do. Well, then remember the story of the shooting star. Ordinary fuel, ordinary start. Super fuel, super start. So don't wait. Get supercharged. And gang, get supercharged the way Buzz Corey does. Eat a good breakfast with a checkerboard super cereal, like Rice Chex or Wheat Chex. Some cereals, yes, sir. If you want flavor, just get Chex. If you want something different, just get Chex. C-H-E-X, Chex. Right for a bite, because they're bite-sized. Get them at your grocer's today in the red and white checkerboard package. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex, the bite-sized super cereals that help to supercharge you. Commander Corey, Cadet Happy, and Tonga, Assistant Security Chief of the United Planets, are on the planet Uranus to investigate a series of accidents that have occurred to passenger ships. In the chart room of the Space Patrol office, Buzz is briefing Happy and Tonga.
You two have made a lot of flights between the outer planets, so I don't have to impress on you the tremendous distances involved.
No, sir.
And you know that here in Uranus, we're outside the orbits of 7 of the 10 planets of the solar system.
And yet we're barely halfway between the Sun and Pluto.
That's right. Now, everyone realizes that the companies running freight and passenger ships between Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto are working under handicaps.
Yeah, the long hauls cut down on their profits.
Right. A freighter could make 16 trips from Earth to Mercury, for example, while other freighters make only one trip from Neptune to Pluto.
But that doesn't explain all these accidents on the outer planet runs.
No, it doesn't, Tonga. At least not entirely.
Unless the companies are cutting down on safety checkups to save money.
Robbie and I thought that was the explanation at first. However, it's a pretty short-sighted company that would cut corners on inspections, especially when it keeps losing ships like Spaceways Incorporated.
Now, one good thing, no passengers have been lost.
No, not yet. It's our job to find out what the trouble is before any human lives are sacrificed.
Well, from the reports, Spaceways Incorporated have had most of the accidents.
Yes. Of course, they are a new concern. They haven't had the experience that transorbit lines have had.
Commander, isn't transorbit operated by a woman?
Yes. And she's a very capable manager, according to all reports. Her name is Jelena Fenton.
Well, I thought transorbit just handled the inner planet surface.
Yeah, they did until recently. But now they have half a dozen ships on the runs between Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto.
Have they been having trouble, too?
A little, but not nearly so much as Spaceways. Now, our regular Space Patrol inspectors haven't been able to find the source of the difficulty. So we're going to do a little undercover work. That's where you come in, Tonga.
Yes, Commander.
You'll pose as a writer for a magazine, gathering material for a series of articles on living conditions on the outer planets.
Good. Then I can make trips from planet to planet without arousing suspicion.
Yes, it'll give you a chance to observe conditions around spaceports and watch the personnel.
What do you and I do, Commander?
Well, for the time being, we'll just make routine inspections of Space Patrol bases and keep in touch with Tonga.
How do you want me to contact you, Commander?
Use your miniature spacephone. Keep it with you at all times.
I will.
And don't use it when there's anyone around.
When do I start?
Immediately. There's a Spaceways passenger ship leaving Uranus for Pluto in the morning. Be aboard it.
Right, Commander.
Happy now, blast off in Terra the Fifth a few hours after your ship leaves. I got your message, Jelena. What's up?
You can cancel that trip to Mercury, Cardo. You're staying here on Neptune.
What about that Spaceway ship I was supposed to fix?
I've already arranged it.
Oh, what happens this time? Does the oxygen reclaiming unit give out?
No, we won't use that one again for a while. I've got a better one.
Yeah? What?
The orbit computer. It's been tampered with, so it'll give the wrong vector.
Oh, that's not so serious.
Oh, isn't it? On a run to Pluto with a full passenger list. You know how little reserve power those Spaceway ships have.
Hey, that's right. They'll run out before they can get back on course. Unless they get a spacephone fixed from space control.
They won't be able to. Halfway to Pluto, their spacephone power unit will fail.
A few more accidents like this and nobody will get aboard a Spaceway ship.
Which means that transorbit will have all the business.
I've sure got to hand it to you, Jelena. At first, I thought you were crazy to take on these outer planet runs.
I mean, it would have been crazy if we were merely going to be satisfied with a few crumbs that Spaceways didn't want to be bothered with.
If you keep on, Jelena, you'll be known as the Queen of Space.
The Queen of Space. You know, Cardo, I think I rather like it.
We're on vector, sir.
Yes. You know, that's the fourth time you've checked in the last half hour. We're on automatic control.
Oh, gee, sir, a guy has to do something to keep busy. We're still 10 million DUs from Pluto, and I've read every tech manual in the ship.
Imagine having to make this run every day, Happy, on a freighter.
No, thanks. I'd go crazy.
Tonga calling Commander Corey. Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Maybe she's getting bored, too.
Corey here. Go ahead, Tonga.
Commander, something's wrong aboard this passenger ship.
Well, what's the trouble? Where are you?
I'm in my private compartment. I think the ship is off course.
Happy, get a fix on Tonga's signal.
Yes, sir.
What makes you think you're off course, Tonga?
I overheard a couple of the crew members whispering. They don't want to alarm the passengers, but I know the steward is very worried.
Well, how could the ship get off course?
I don't know, but I heard the steward say that the ship's spacephone is out of commission.
Does anyone aboard know you've got a miniature spacephone?
No, Commander.
I've got a fixer. They sure are off course by nearly 30 degrees.
Did you hear that, Tonga?
Yes.
And they must have been off for some time. There are thousands of DUs from the regular space lane.
Now, Tonga, listen. I could spacephone the correct course to you to give to the pilot, but that would mean somebody would know you're a Space Patrol agent. Of course, if the ship is really in trouble...
I don't think so. At least not yet.
Well, then Happy and I'll change vector and come close enough so that the pilot will pick us up in his viewscope. He'll naturally follow us.
And you lead the ship to Pluto?
Oh, just a minute. Got the position charted, Happy?
Yes, sir. They're about here.
Tonga, you're much closer to Neptune than to Pluto. These outer planet ship line operations don't have too much reserve power. We'll lead you back to Neptune.
All right, Commander.
We're changing vector now. We should be in viewscope range in about half an hour. Go out and mingle with the passengers. Contact me if any serious trouble develops.
Right, Commander.
Corey out. You all happy? What was it you were saying about this Pluto run being boring?
Here's that schedule of Spaceways flights, Jelna. Most of them are inward bound from Pluto.
Spaceways Comet is due this afternoon at Neptune City Spaceport. Leaves for Neptune's moon tomorrow morning.
That doesn't give us much time.
True, but it might give us a fine opportunity.
How do you mean?
Well, they're short haul to the moon coming up tomorrow. Chances are the maintenance crew won't do much work on the ship.
Yeah, that's right. They'll wait till he gets back, unless there's something that needs immediate attention.
All right, Cardo. Keep an eye on the comet when it comes in. After that long run from Pluto, the pilot and the rest of the crew will probably head for town for a good time.
Yeah, you're right, Jelna. Say, I wonder how that other ship's making out, the big passenger job.
Right now, the pilot's probably discovering he's millions of DUs off course, and with a low power supply. But don't start making any inquiries, Cardo.
Don't worry. I'll wait for the official announcement. Another Spaceways ship lost.
Think they see us, sir?
They ought to. They show up strong enough in our view scope.
Well, I hope the pilot has sense enough to follow us.
He'll probably be very glad to, Happy. I'm going to change vector now. Watch the screen and see if he follows us.
Yes, sir.
How about it, Happy?
I think he's got the idea all right, sir.
Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Go ahead, Tonga.
I'm back in my compartment. Everything's all right.
Good. Does the pilot know we're headed for Neptune?
He just made an announcement through the public address system. We passengers have been told that the ship is making an emergency landing on Neptune.
There's no panic, I hope.
No, we've been assured that it's nothing serious. There's a lot of grumbling about the delay, but nobody's alarmed.
Well, find out all you can, Tonga. I'll arrange to meet you when you land on Neptune.
Jelna, something went wrong.
What do you mean?
That ship that was supposed to get lost in the run to Pluto.
Well, what about it?
Just landed here on Neptune, of all the rotten breaks.
But the orbit computer did fail, didn't it?
Yes, but a space patrol ship happened along and the pilot followed him to Neptune.
Did you say happened along?
Yes. Apparently, the space patrol ship didn't even know the passenger ship was in trouble. At least the space patrol didn't attempt to make contact.
Well, maybe it's better this way. Now we've got 35 or 40 unhappy passengers. We'll tell their friends what an inefficient line Spaceways is. Next time, they'll all take transorbit.
One thing I admire about you, Jelna, you always look on the bright side of things.
How about the comet?
It's working out the way you said it would. The crew headed for town for a good time, and the ship is due for an overhaul after it gets back from Neptune's moon.
But it won't get back, Cardo. It's going to be blown up on the way.
Blown up?
Yes. You can sneak aboard tonight and plant an explosive in one of the aft compartments. I suggest the emergency rations compartment.
Suppose they check the ship before blastoff.
It isn't likely they'd check the emergency rations before a short trip to that moon. Especially when there's a major overhaul coming up in a couple of days. I've got it all worked out. The explosive will be in a regular emergency ration.
I've looked all over the spaceport, Commander, and I can't find Tonga.
I wonder what's delaying her. She's had plenty of time to check in at the space hotel and get back here.
Shall I look again, sir? And maybe she's over in Wing B.
Oh, here she comes, Happy. Yeah, she sees us. Let's move over here behind these pillars. Remember, Happy, don't call her by name.
Commander.
What did you find out?
The orbit computer and the ship had been tampered with. So had the space phone transmitter.
So somebody wanted that ship to get lost.
Yes. And I picked up a very interesting rumor about who might be behind it.
Who?
I've been talking to some of the Spaceways employees. They think Transorbit is trying to run them out of business.
Well, that's a serious charge. Do they have any evidence?
No, but I heard a certain name mentioned. Brox Cardo.
Brox Cardo, huh?
Yes. Cardo works for Jelna Fenton of Transorbit.
And what's Cardo supposed to do?
I couldn't learn anything specific, but I get the impression that Carter would do just about anything.
Transorbit's main offices are here in Neptune City. Happy, maybe you and I can check up on this Carter.
Yes, sir.
And Tonga, the best thing for you to do is go ahead with our original plan.
You mean go on to Pluto?
Yes. When is the next passenger ship leaving for Pluto?
Spaceways hasn't any scheduled until day after tomorrow. But there is a transorbit ship leaving tomorrow morning.
Then take that one. Oh, and by the way, this might be a good time to start gathering material for those magazine articles you're supposed to be writing.
Oh?
See if you can get an interview with Jelna Fenton at Transorbit.
All right, Commander.
In the meantime, Happy and I'll check up on Brox Cardo. The
Slow down a little, Happy. We don't want Cardo to suspect we're trailing him.
Yes, sir. He's heading for that spaceship.
Yeah, that's the Comet. Just got in from Pluto this afternoon.
See, it's a beautiful ship, isn't it, sir?
Yes, it's the pride of spaceways. Hold it, Happy.
Cardo's getting in the ship.
Yes. I'm very curious to know why a transorbit employee is snooping around a spaceways ship.
What do you suppose he's got in that box he's carrying?
Suppose we find out. Come on, Happy.
He's been in there a long time.
Up the ladder, Happy. Let's find out just what he's up to in there.
Which way, sir?
Look up forward. He may be tampering with the controls. Wrong guess, gentlemen.
Commander, look out!
Stay where you are, cadet.
Oh, yeah?
Cardo, put down that gun.
Now, try to get to your feet, Commander. Forget what the cadet got.
What are you doing in this ship?
Preparing the Comet for its last voyage.
What do you mean?
There's an explosive hidden in the aft compartment. Time to go off 2 hours after blastoff tomorrow.
But there'll be passengers aboard.
Yes, I know. It looks like there'll be 2 extra passengers, Commander. The cadet and you.
We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment. Gang, this is Space Patroller Dick Tufeld speaking from the Interplanetary School Stadium on Terra. Just saw a swell football game here. Listen to this crowd cheering the winners. Yes, it sure is fun when you're a winner and hear something like that. Right, gang? But remember, to be a winner, you have to be supercharged. And here's the way to take care of that. Eat a good breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex, the bite-sized super cereals that help to supercharge you. Delicious? Why, there's sure plenty of zing in that Rice Chex flavor. And man, oh man, Rice Chex biscuits are toasted and toasted to make them crisper and crisper. And Wheat Chex, ah, there's a flavor you'd fly to the moon for. Now remember, it's fun to be a winner, and hear this. So move right up and be a winner. Move right up to the table for a breakfast that supercharges you. A good breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex. Get them today, gang, and get supercharged. At the Neptune City spaceport, Commander Corey and Cadet Happy entered a spaceship to apprehend a suspected saboteur. The saboteur, Brox Cardo, attacking Buzz and Happy by surprise, put them to sleep with a ray gun. Now, heavily bound and gagged, they're locked in a compartment in the spaceship in which Cardo has planted an explosive, timed to go off 2 hours after the ship blasts off for Neptune's moon. Meanwhile, following Buzz's instructions, Tonga has called on Jelna Fenton, head of the Transorbit Space Lines, in her office on Neptune City. To obtain information, Tonga is posing as a writer for the Inner Planets Weekly magazine.
You have given me some very interesting facts, Miss Fenton. I won't take up any more...
Jelna, I... Oh, excuse me.
Oh, it's quite all right. I was just leaving. This young lady is writing an article about us for the Inner Planets Weekly.
Well, that's fine.
Thank you again, Miss Fenton. Goodbye. Goodbye. And I think you're very wise to take a transorbit ship to Pluto.
Thank you.
The girl's not much of a space traveler. She was on the ship that got lost, frightened her to death.
That's so?
Now I am glad that ship got here safely. She'll write up her horrible experience on a spaceway ship and give transorbit a nice plug.
Yeah, swell. Now, what I wanted to...
And I managed to work in that line of yours. You know, calling me the Queen of Space. Oh, of course, I did it very modestly.
Yeah, sure, Jolly. But listen... I planted the explosive in the Comet, all right.
Oh, good. Did anyone see you?
Yes. Commander Corey of the Space Patrol.
What?
Now, don't worry. I took care of him and his cadet both. They're locked up in the ship. When the ship blows up tomorrow, they'll
Wait.
Be...
Thought so. She was listening.
Who?
That girl, the reporter.
Oh, do you think she heard us?
We've got to find out. Come on, Cardo. We'll follow her and see where she goes.
If I could only get my hands free. We've got to get loose, Happy. There's a bomb aboard this ship. Cardo set it to go off, and the ship's about halfway to Neptune's moon. There. I'll untie your hands.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know how we're going to get out of this compartment, but we've got to.
Well, when somebody comes aboard, maybe they can hear us pounding on the door.
Possibly. This ship is heavily soundproof. Can't even hear the roar of the rockets when... I wonder...
You mean...
Maybe we've already blasted off.
That could be. Listen. No.
I don't hear anything.
There's no telling how long that ray gun put us to sleep. If we're in flight now, that bomb may go off any second.
Let's try banging on the door.
All right, Hap.
Hey, open up. Open up. Anybody out there? Open up.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you hear anything?
Yes.
Hey, somebody's heard us. Tonga!
Commander, Happy, are you all right?
Yes, Tonga, but how did you know we were here?
I overheard Carter tell John.
Oh, so we haven't blasted off.
Obviously not. Now, we got to find that bomb and get it out of the ship.
Yes, sir.
Commander, I think Carter and Jelna are after me.
They may think so, Tonga, but as a matter of fact, we're after them. As soon as we fix that bomb, we'll be on our way. Let's get at it, Happy.
I can carry the bomb, sir.
It's not heavy, huh?
Are you sure that's the right box?
Yes, Tonga. It's the only one that was hidden in the emergency ration storage compartment.
Yeah, you can tell by the weight. This box is twice as heavy as the others.
Happy, you and I'll take this bomb to the Space Patrol emergency officer here at the spaceport for detonating, and we'll all meet later at Gate 7.
Yes, sir.
Tonga, while we're doing that, you call Neptune Unit Space Patrol headquarters and alert them to pick up Cardo and Jelna Fenton. Look, there they are. We're too late, Jelna. That girl set them loose.
Why didn't you give the commander and that cadet another blast with a ray gun? It would have kept them unconscious till after the comet blasted off.
Oh, what difference does it make now? The girl found them.
Makes a lot of difference. Commander won't lose any time in getting out an alarm for us.
What do we do?
Well, let's get to our ship and blast off. We've got to get off Neptune.
Yeah, we got to get off Neptune before Corey has a chance to alert the space patrol.
Oh, wait. Girl's leaving and coming this way.
Get out of sight before she sees us.
I'd like to really fix her.
Never mind the girl.
Wait a minute. It might be a good idea to take her with us.
What for?
Don't be an idiot. You've got that ray gun, haven't you?
Yeah.
Then get her.
With all these people around?
Come on, if we handle it right, nobody will notice. Just have that gun ready. Now, Cardo.
In a hurry, miss?
Oh, why, Miss Fenton. What a nice surprise. You're not half as surprised as you're going to be.
This is a ray gun on your back. Now come along quietly. Get moving out toward the ships.
Tonga's not at Gate 7, Commander.
I know, and she won't be.
What?
She never did call headquarters. I just checked. Tonga's not in the habit of disobeying orders.
But what happened?
Jelna Fenton's own private space cruiser just blasted off. I got the report from space control.
Well, sir, do you think she has Tonga with her?
That's what I'm afraid of, Happy. Get to our ship. We're going after them. I've got the ship on vector for Saturn, Jelna.
Put it in full acceleration. We've got to get plenty of distance between us and Neptune.
Yeah. How's the girl?
Still locked up in the compartment. Oh, I found out who she is.
Yeah, who?
Tonga, assistant security chief of the space patrol.
Oh, that's not good.
Why?
This can mean plenty of trouble.
Oh, and I suppose you don't think we're in trouble now? Tonga can help keep Corey off our necks.
Yeah, but will she?
Save her own, sure. Besides, we don't care whether she cooperates or not.
Jelna, look, the rear view scope.
Ship.
It's coming right toward us and gaining every second. Jelna, they're after us.
Now, don't get excited. Calm down.
That's a space patrol ship. It's Corey.
So much the better. Relax, Cardo. Relax.
It's a private cruiser, sir.
Yes, with a transorbit trademark on it. It's Jelna Fenton's ship, all right.
Hey, we're sure gaining on it.
They must know they're being followed. They don't seem to be doing anything about it. Turn on the spacophone, Happy.
Yes, sir.
This is Commander Corey aboard Terra 5 calling Jelna Fenton and private cruiser N-56. Corey to Jelna Fenton.
Cruiser N-56 to Terra 5. Go ahead.
Return to Neptune immediately. You're under arrest.
Really, Commander?
Is Brox Cardo aboard?
Brox Cardo? I never heard of him.
This is an order, Miss Fenton. Return to Neptune immediately or we'll have to use force.
It's very interesting, Commander, but I don't think you will. You wouldn't want to risk harming your assistant security chief, would you?
So you have Tonga aboard.
That's right, Commander. I suppose you think I'm bluffing.
No, Jelna. I believe you. And I'm warning you, if you harm Tonga in
if
any way...
If you don't want her harmed, then I suggest you just go about your own business and leave us alone. Goodbye, Commander.
Jelna, listen.
Tonga calling Commander Corey.
Hey, Tonga's still got her miniature spacephone, and she's on her private frequency.
Go ahead, Tonga.
Commander, I'm aboard Jelna Fenton's private cruiser.
I know. Happy and I are right behind you. I just talked to Jelna, and she refused to return to Neptune.
I've tried to get out of the compartment, but I can't. It's locked.
Well, listen, Tonga. Right now, Jelna has the upper hand. If we join airlocks with her ship, she'll carry out her threat to harm you.
Well, she'll have to land sometime.
Yes, but that still doesn't help your case. Where is your compartment?
Amidships, on the starboard side.
I'm going to try something, Tonga. Maybe a little risky, but in the long run, you'll stand a better chance of getting away.
Anything you say, Commander.
Whatever you do, don't let Jalna know I've talked to you by miniature spacophone.
Yes, sir.
Obey their orders exactly. Corey out. Happy, while I put on my spacesuit, get me an atomic torch.
Atomic torch, yes, sir.
Hurry. I'll pull up close to Jalna's ship. Up to his ship's right off our starboard.
I guess he doesn't believe we've got Tonga aboard. But if he starts anything, he'll find out soon enough.
Corey to Jalna. Corey to Jalna. You
gonna talk to him?
Yes. What is it, Commander?
I want to be sure Tonga's aboard.
Don't you trust me?
I want to see that she's all right.
Well, that's fair enough. Carter, go bring Tonga up here so the Commander can see her.
Okay. Keep pulling in closer to Jalna's ship, Happy.
We're nearly touching now, sir.
I'm going to keep back so they can't see that I've got a spacesuit on. You know what to do?
Yes, sir. As soon as you tell Jalna that you see Tonga, I let our ship drop back a little, and you go out the airlock and jetpack over to Jalna's ship.
That's right. Turn on the spacephone, Happy. Well, Jalna, have you got Tonga? Let's see her.
Yes, Commander. She's right here at the nose port. Don't you see her?
Yes. Are you all right, Tonga?
Yes, Commander. Now, are you satisfied, Commander?
Just see that you don't harm her.
Then get your ship away from here.
Cut it, Happy.
Okay, sir.
All right. Drop back now. I'm going out the airlock.
Be careful, sir.
Corey's pulled his ship away.
Good. He finally got some sense.
I was afraid for a while he was going to connect airlocks.
Have been just too bad for Tonga if he had.
I'll take her back and lock her up again.
All right.
Never mind. I'll take care of
her. Corey!
Commander!
Don't reach for that gun, Cardo!
Cardo!
Bend your arm, Miss Benson.
Let go of me, Tonga! Let go!
And stop struggling.
Drop it, Cardo! You asked for it!
I just stay down there.
How did you get aboard, Corey?
Doesn't the spacesuit give you a hint? I came in through the airlock. I triggered the latch with an atomic cutting torch. Tonga, you can let go of Miss Fenton now. I've got her covered.
Yes, Commander.
We'll lock them up after I contact Happy. Commander Corey calling Cadet Happy.
You made it, sir.
Right, Happy. Tonga and I have got Cardo and Miss Fenton. She seems pretty unhappy. I suppose she's disappointed because there won't be an article about her in the Inner Planet Weekly.
Well, tell her to cheer up, sir. There'll be a nice long one about her in the next Space Patrol crime report.
We'll be back with an action preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story in just a moment. Say, do you hear that clock? Time's running away fast, gang, but it's something you just can't hold back. So don't wait. Send for a Space Patrol spacophone set now. This offer soon ends. The spacophone, the magic phone that sounds like a walkie-talkie. But time's a-wasting, so hurry. Now think of it. A spacophone that looks exactly like the one Buzz Corey uses. But remember, this offer will soon end. Time is really running out. So, gang, hurry. Hurry while there's still time. Send today for your spacophone set. You can talk on it to someone a straight 50 feet away. But don't wait. Act now. This offer soon ends. You get two blue and yellow plastic spacophones, 50 feet of communication cord, and a briefing sheet. Here's all you do. Just buy a box of Instant Ralston. Then, with your name and address, send an Instant Ralston box top and 25 cents in coin to Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. This offer good only in continental U.S. and may be withdrawn at any time. That's Space Patrol, Box 686, St. Louis, Missouri. And now for a preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story. Buzz and Happy are climbing the face of a steep cliff on the planet Saturn in pursuit of a criminal. At one side of them, a great waterfall thunders down 1,000 feet to the valley below.
Kolgar must have reached the top, Commander. I don't see him.
It's amazing. He went up this cliff like a mountain goat.
It's sure hard to get a foothold.
Look out, Happy. There's a rock falling.
Smoke and rockets. Wow, that was close.
There are more coming. Press close to the side of the cliff.
Hey, it looks like the whole top of the mountain is coming down on us.
That's Kolgar's work. He started a landslide.
And it's coming down right on top of us. What are we going to do?
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Giant Bubble, when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again bring you Space Patrol!
This is your commander, gang, with a story about the warriors in your bloodstream. Do you know what they are? They're the white blood cells, and they're warriors against disease. When a person is sick, he often needs a whole extra army of these warriors. That's just one reason why it's vital to have a big supply of blood in hospitals. Will you help me remind grown-ups that America needs more blood donations? Then join the Space Patrol Blood Boosters. Don't wait. Join today.
Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production, starring Ed Kemmerer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Nina Vera, Virginia Hewitt, and Norman Jolly. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Checks, Rice Checks, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol. And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol program on your local ABC television station. Consult your newspaper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.